Hello and welcome to the Auto Remarketing Podcast. I'm your host, Joe Overby, Senior Editor of Auto Remarketing. Joining me today is Libby Murad Patel, who is Vice President of Marketing and Strategic Insights for Jumpstart Automotive Media. Libby, thank you so much for joining the show, and it's great to talk with you.
Yeah, it's great to be here. Thank you.
Libby, I think a lot of folks are familiar with your name and what Jumpstart does, but for those of us who maybe are hearing from you for the first time, explain a little bit about your role and some of the projects you work on over at Jumpstart.
Sure. So I'll first just start by saying that Jumpstart is a digital automotive portfolio that represents 14 publisher partners in the U.S., and through that partnership, we have insight into shopping audiences across all of these properties, which allows us to really capture data from about 20 million consumers per month. This is really valuable information to have because we're seeing the way that consumers are shopping from their, you know, higher level research phases all the way down to the point of purchase, which gives us a great indication of what's happening in the marketplace. Through my department, we focus really on both strategic insights, which is a lot of that audience insight and trending, and also marketing support across the organization. So this data really does help us to drive the way that we go to market and strategies that we recommend to our advertising partners. So we're extremely data-driven and focus on following the industry very closely.
And you guys are based in San Francisco, correct?
We're based in San Francisco, but we have offices across the country in New York, Detroit, L.A., Atlanta, and then even in Toronto.
Well, I'm sure your folks down in Atlanta can probably identify with here in North Carolina. It's about 1,000 degrees outside, which can only mean that Labor Day weekend is about here. So I know our
150% humidity, I'm sure.
Well, I know our audience is going to be hearing this after Labor Day, but Jumpstart, of course, did some analysis heading into this holiday weekend around crossover SUV brand, specifically interest this summer. So looking at that report and some of the data you guys collected, what were some of the interesting consumer interest trends for this segment that really stood out to you?
Yeah, you know, we monitor this really closely, and you know, the love affair with SUVs and CUVs is not going anywhere. But what we are finding is that there's different pockets of these segments because now there's so many different diverse segments within these body styles that kind of ebb and flow in terms of where consumer interest lies. Going into Labor Day right now, what we're seeing is that two of those SUV and CUV segments are really popping, and that's the compact luxury SUV segment and the subcompact SUV. So if I could just kind of make a few mentions out of the compact side of it, we're seeing about year-over-year growth here of 59% in this segment specifically. A lot of that is being fueled by either new entries to the segment or some pretty significant brand refreshes. So the Acura RDX typically leads the segment. It still does today. But its launch of the 2019 RDX has been really successful so far, really solidifying its place in the segment. But there's two new competitors that shoppers are really gravitating to, and that's the Volvo XC40 and the Cadillac XT4. And that's not uncommon that new entries are going to drive a lot of the shopper interest here. But this is a pretty powerful segment in terms of some mainstay brands, but also some newcomers that are, I think, consumers are really excited to see in this space. So RDX leading the charge with about 24% hold on that segment. In the subcompact space, we're looking at about 17% growth year over year. And similar to the compact luxury side of it, there's some new players here that are really grabbing shopper attention. So Hyundai has released its Kona, Ford has released its EcoSport, Nissan with the Kicks, and even though the Subaru Crosstrek is not new to the segment currently, it's actually doing quite well within the segment and grabbing shopper attention. This is leading the charge of the segment in terms of the number one player.
And you mentioned something interesting there about, you know, kind of new consumer traffic, you know, new entrants into that segment. Are you seeing any kind of cannibalization, I guess, between would-be car segment buyers who, you know, it's not that huge of a transition to go from owning a sedan to a compact crossover? Are the compact crossovers kind of stealing some of that, you know?
They do grab some share of shopper interest in those segments. And we've identified that from a cross-shopping behavior standpoint, they still tend to pull more from other SUV segments, and that would either be the compact or most likely the midsize. But we do see that about 10% of shopping, I would say 10 to 15% on average, that might come from more of a compact car or a midsize sedan segment. But the bulk of it still does come from shoppers who are looking at other SUV and CUV categories. But I would say, you know, from a consumer standpoint, it is a natural progression to either go, you know, from a compact car to a subcompact or compact SUV, or to go from a midsize sedan into those segments. And from a price point standpoint, they're quite approachable when you're already at a midsize sedan.
And to go back to one of your earlier points about how, you know, the consumer interest in the crossover and SUV segments isn't going away anytime soon, are you seeing that same level of interest on the used car side?
I would say the interest is strong and it's there. We do still see a heavier amount of traffic on the used side that is looking at the car segments. And from a shopper interest standpoint, we'd say it's still almost 2-to-1 on the used car side of it. But I would say, with some of these SUV and CUV segments they've had more new products in the last 3 years. So I would say the supply is starting to build up in those segments for the used car market. And once that supply is up a little bit more with vehicles coming off lease, I think consumer interest will also start to shift a little bit more heavily into SUVs and CUVs in the used car space.
Well, to shift gears a little bit, you wrote a really, first of all, excellent op-ed piece for Autory Marketing about influencer marketing and how it's starting to work in automotive circles. And, you know, to be honest, when I hear the term influencer marketing, I almost think of like one of the Kardashians, you know, selling products on Instagram. But I know in automotive, it goes a little bit deeper than that, obviously. Where do you see the automotive marketing using influencer marketing?
You know, I think there's a lot of opportunity because there are large pockets of enthusiasts out there in terms of the auto category, and I think these are typically people who love to talk about cars, and that, you know, among their circle of friends and family, people really do turn to them to get advice on their next purchase. There's sometimes a misconception that enthusiasts aren't really in market, and so they may not be as valuable, you know, from an auto manufacturer standpoint in terms of a media opportunity or targeting, but they're actually in market more frequently than you would think, even 1 to 3 years that they come in and out of the marketplace. And so they've got a wide breadth of knowledge, not just following the category with passion, but also in talking to consumers about it, and being, you know, product testers, so to speak. And what we have found is that people that do get invited or do attend more of the experiential events in the auto category, those are end up being, you know, 80% plus more favorable in terms of the opinions that they walk away with, you know, from the brand. So in the auto category specifically, I think there's a lot of opportunity to continue to tap into that enthusiast and influencer audience, because, you know, these are the people who are kind of day in and day out talking to others about it and influencing their consideration set.
Based on that, I imagine that for it to work, the influencer themselves must be passionate about that product and actually use that product, you know, you know, that Matthew McConaughey needs to drive Lincolns to actually, you know, have a genuine influence.
Yes, I would agree with that. And I mean, I think that's, you know, that's a common, you know, a common trend in media and marketing today in general, is that, you know, consumers can spot content that's not authentic. And so if it feels like it doesn't carry an authentic voice and that it's not, you know, truly coming from a consumer who's passionate or that is a product user or a loyalist, I think, you know, that's easy for others to identify, and it's a turnoff. So I think the value in terms of doing any type of influencer marketing is to truly tap into those that are brand advocates, that are enthusiasts, that show the passion, and really, you know, kind of walk the walk.
Well, that leads to my last question for you here. You mentioned in that same column that brands have to keep influencer campaigns subtle. So how does that work, and maybe what are some examples of that being done the right way?
No, I think in terms of keeping it subtle, it's less of the gimmicky, you know, and maybe more in your face. Provide them useful information and content or tools that help them navigate through the information landscape. You know, consumers have so much information coming at them from so many different places. It's a matter of making it easy to find, and being, you know, being pretty upfront with where you believe that the features that you're offering, really stand out from the competition. There's so many good products on the market today. And it's not, you know, it's not going to be helpful to a consumer if you're not providing specific information, and being truthful about where your brand really kind of carries, you know, basically a competitive advantage from the competitive set. So I think putting that out there, in a more subtle format rather than sort of hitting them over the head with it, that could be, you know, aligning some of the content alongside editorial content so that they can easily gravitate to it. It could be in a social setting to where they're being given the information, perhaps, you know, following a period that they were looking at online information. And in terms of, you know, the existing customer base, it's not blasting them with, you know, with a massive amount of email marketing, but perhaps inviting them in to experience product itself and, you know, and understand why certain features that they may be touting are worth an upgrade. So it's kind of finding those moments to really invite them into the content that is actually more useful to them than, you know, just kind of constantly hitting them with a marketing message.
By the sound of it, I mean, the last point you made about kind of experiential marketing, you know, bringing the customer in, sounds like that could be applied to dealerships too.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, there's a number of different touch points that the brand can have with the consumer. And even better if you are getting them into the retail environment and they're maintaining a relationship at the dealer level. I think that's beneficial for both the brand and for the dealer themselves.
Well, Libby, thank you so much for the time and the insight today. Always great talking with you.
Great talking with you, too. Thanks.
For Nick Zulovich and our entire Auto Remarketing crew, that's going to do it for today's show, and we'll catch you next time.